Terry and Jesse show, two Catholics with a PhD in common sense. This is the Lord's gym. I'm going to start calling that again.
Yes, please do.
The Lord's gym.
Work it out.
We are your spiritual fitness trainers. Your pain is your gain, because exactly we call that redemptive suffering in the Lord's gym. Terry, I'm on duty. What about
you? I'm on duty too. Check out Colossians chapter 1, what Jesse's just referring to. Hey,
Jesse. Verse 24.
Yep, verse 24. You got it, brother. I love the Lord's gym. Folks, we have a great show ahead of us, because we're going to cover a topic called Gnosticism. You go, what the heck is that? Well, you're going to be an expert on it after our show. And you're going to see that it's alive and well, unfortunately, in our culture and even in our church. And we'll give you a good teaching on philosophy, which breeds good theology. Also, we're going to be covering a very interesting clip. I found this, our engineer found this clip about President Biden and how he was handling the situation in Afghanistan if he was the president. Wait till you hear what he said. It is the most amazing statements that he made about Afghanistan. And then he tells somebody something that you just won't believe. So that's a teaser. You got to hear this. Now, this was before he was the president of the United States, but he said, this is what I can do and how I'm going to do it. Now, also, we're going to have our Strength and Honor segment with our good friends from Church Militant. That'll be coming in the last segment. Also, Jesse, good news. 38th state in Texas bans abortion, declares itself a sanctuary for the unborn. More and more cities are doing this. We are making progress. Keep the pedal on the metal, down on the metal, because we got to keep fighting for our unborn children. But before we get to all of these topics, I also want to encourage you to open up your Bible, if you have your Bible, if it's the reading of today's gospel. We call it our soul food. So, Jess, could you give us some soul food, brother?
Absolutely. Let's go to Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19.
You got it.
It's short, but it's powerful.
Yep.
The Word of God says, as Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. By the way, when Jesus would go from Nazareth to Jerusalem, most people don't appreciate it. That's about an 100-mile walk.
Wow. That's a four-day, at least three or four days.
Okay, so, you know, we read it in the Bible. It's like, he went around the block to the liquor store. No.
No.
That's an 100-mile walk, by the way. I've taken it by a car and by a bus, not on foot.
Yeah.
Okay, it says here, as he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. By the way, he was in Samaria, and the Samaritans, these were Jewish half-breeds, so there was a beef between the Jews, the Israelites, and the Samaritans. 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voice, saying, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Ah, notice this. They recognize who he is.
Exactly.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Like the prayer of St. Francis, O Master, grant that I may not seek to be loved, but as to love. They call him Master. Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Have pity on us. What does pity mean? That means mercy. It's the same word as in the Hebrew as mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. Ah, so this is also a precursor of New Testament sacrament of confession.
Exactly.
Go show yourself to the priest. Jesus could have just said, hey, I'm going to forgive your sins. I'm the Son of God. Done. No, but he says, go show yourself to the priest. In other words, there's a protocol he's already setting up for the New Testament as to how to have your sins forgiven. Then it says, as they were going, they were cleansed. By the way, that's exactly what happens when you leave the sacrament of confession.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in a state of grace, you're cleansed. But when you're in mortal sin, you're a leper. It says, and one of them, realizing that he had been healed, returned glorifying God in a loud voice, and he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. So what's the ultimate form of healing? Is when the soul and the intellect are reoriented back to God, and you're in a state of grace, and your faculties are firing on all cylinders, because your intellect is formed by the Word of God, and your soul is clean because you've been forgiven. Then it says, he was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God? Then he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has saved you. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Here's where Jesus Christ is already showing us that he came to bring in the Gentiles, the non-Jews, because apparently 9 of these lepers were Jews. Jesus healed them. They didn't come back to thank him. Who came back to thank him? The half-breed, the Samaritan, which goes to show you that our Lord already came to bring in the Gentiles, us, and graft us into the vineyard of his Father. And also, at the end where it says here, Jesus says, your faith has saved you. Notice, it's not faith alone, as Luther the heretic proclaimed in 1517. It was faith and works, faith and action, faith and obedience. Jesus said, you have to do something. Go to the Levite priest, and they did. And so once again, Luther was wrong and the Catholic Church was right. Terry?
Well said, Jesse. Great commentary. I always ask myself, am I wanting to be one of the 9 that forget to thank God, and or be the one who's going to come up and come back and say thank you? And think about this. You've been given your life. You've been given 24 hours a day. Father Mitch Pacwa always mentioned this. Why are we tithing time to God? What? Yeah, tithing. In other words, are we going to give 10%, you know, 2-3 hours a day studying the Word of God in prayer, praying our rosary, making a visit to the Blessed Sacrament? That seems like a very reasonable way to thank God, since he gave you 24 hours. What are you giving back? I'm saying it to myself, Jess. What am I giving back?
Right.
All right. Hey, let's bring the smartest guy into the room, Jess. Full Sheen ahead. It fits right into this topic of Gnosticism, because Sheen talks about politics. Yes, he does. He certainly did. He said about conflicts. He said the conflict of the future will be between a God religion and a state religion, between Christ and the Antichrist, but in a political disguise. 70 years ago, he said that, Jess. He's spot on. That's what's happening right now.
Terry, the state religion.
Yes.
Or the religion of Satan, mm-hmm. is socialism.
Yes.
And it's being pushed by this whole Great Reset, these globalists,
yep.
that are trying to give us a parallel religion here on earth. And the Catechism warns us, Terry, in paragraph 675, a lot of people have probably never read that section of the Catechism, but we've been warned in that section about this man-made religion that will delude a lot of people. In fact, let me read paragraph 675 of the Catechism so that you can see exactly the way the church has warned us. The Catechism says there will be a supreme religious deception. That's what Fun Flun Sheen said.
Yep.
A supreme religious deception before the second coming of Christ that the supreme form of this deception is that of the Antichrist. Okay. Who will bring a pseudo-messianism by which man glorifies himself in the place of God and of his place, I mean, of his Messiah, come in the flesh. 675 of the Catechism and Fulton Sheen are saying the same thing. This Great Reset globalist coming from the World Health Organization, Fauci, Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, this is the man-made religion,
yep.
of socialism. That's the deception of the Antichrist, Terry.
Well said, Jesse. Thanks for that good commentary. Let's bring in something. I want to bring a clip from President Biden. His rating is down to 38%, and you'll see why. Here's a clip. Before he was the President of the United States, he had a comment with a group of people talking about Afghanistan and exit of our troops out of Afghanistan. Wait till you hear this, and then ask yourself why his ratings are so low. Play the clip, please.
How we end this war. And it makes a big difference to tell the American people the truth about what our options are in ending this war. If tomorrow the order goes out from the president, I'm president of the United States, I issue an order, end the war today, begin to withdraw all American troops. It will take a year to get the American troops out. Do you hear me now? That's the truth. It will take a year to get them physically out. Now, if you leave all the equipment behind, you might be able to do it in 7 months. And you leave those billions of dollars of weapons behind, I promise they're going to be used against your grandchild and mine someday.
Wow.
Unbelievable. He went against what he said a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
That's called hypocrisy, Terry.
Yeah, yeah.
And the mainstream media doesn't play this.
No, they wouldn't play it, Jesse. It's embarrassing to say what he told that woman was prophetic, because that's exactly what's happening. That equipment was left there, and it's going to be used against us.
He did. He went against everything right now as the unelected president that he said he wouldn't do when he was a senator.
Yep.
This man is duplicitous.
Oh, yeah, big time.
And Terry, then that's why his ratings are tanking.
Oh, yeah.
And Terry, even liberals are getting fed up with all of this.
Yeah, they are. As a matter of fact, the vice president's rating is down to 28%, so they're in a heap of trouble. But let's just look at what's happened in almost a year of, 9, 10 months of having this president. Take a look at filling up your car right now. See what you're paying double the price to give up to fill your car up. Look at all the shortages that are going on. Look at all the countries running so bad compared to what we had a year ago, the greatest economy since 1960, 50, 60 years, great, lowest unemployment. What's changed? Do you see how important elections are? Jesse, they're huge. And I just wanted to bring this up because I think it points out Biden's role as really a guy that's just, he doesn't have any understanding of how to be the president. And I think I prefer actually a businessman over a politician for being a president. That's my take.
Terry, even Bill Maher is saying that right now, hey, this whole thing about the pandemic, it's over. Let's go back to a normal life.
Yep. He said it. When we come back, we're going to give you what Gnosticism is. You're going to say, what the heck is Gnosticism? Well, stay with us, family. Because we're going to teach you something that is incredibly important for your children's future. Understand how to fight it. Stay with us, family. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
The mother of all heresies, Gnosticism, which gives us modernism.
Right.
Gnosticism feeds modernism and gives it all its, all the ammunition that it needs.
Well said.
As a matter of fact, we could say that Gnosticism is the quintessential heresy. This is an ideology that the church was fighting back in the early church.
Really, a couple hundred years after Christ, it was fighting with the Saint Irenaeus.
Yeah, Saint Irenaeus, who died in 202 AD, actually wrote a lot against Gnosticism. He was one of the early church fathers. Back in the second century. But you can even see in the writings of St. Paul and St. John, the commentaries also tell us, like when St. Paul says, knowledge puffs up, puffs up your pride. The great fathers of the church tell us that St. Paul and St. John were already talking about Gnosticism in the New Testament. There's a Catholic thinker, Professor Plinio de Correa, rest in peace, he explained that Gnosticism is so anti-Christian that it could only come from the mind of Satan himself.
That's what he said.
That's powerful.
That is.
In
true,
fact,
too.
Professor Plinio de Correa, he says, the Gnostic heresy is a doctrine radically opposed to the laws that God placed in the universe because they represent his likeness. It aims, therefore, to make the universe the opposite of God's likeness as much as possible. Ultimately, Gnosticism aims at the destruction of being itself. So here's a couple of paragraphs that will summarize them.
Sure.
The first one is, what do Gnostics believe? In other words, the Gnostics, they want to simplify complex, illogical, sometimes contradictory ideas, such as Gnosticism is a challenge for most of us. I say, you can't really understand it. But here's some of the bullets of what Gnostics believe. Here's the gist of it. That the material world is bad, the spirit world is good. The material world is under the control of evil, ignorance, or nothingness. Here's another bullet. A divine spark is somehow trapped in some, but not all humans, and it alone, of all that exists in this material world, is capable of redemption. So only some humans have the spark of the divine. Third bullet, salvation is through secret knowledge. by being part of the World Health Organization.
The Da Vinci Code is part of
it. Yes, the Da Vinci Code, the CDC, the FDA. People that have secret medical knowledge by which some individuals come to know themselves, that we can become transhumans and others can't, that they can know their origin and destiny. And the fourth bullet, since a good God could not have created an evil world, it must have been created by an inferior, ignorant, or evil God. So these are the core ideas of Gnostics. These are evil ideas. They've wreaked havoc throughout human history. And they basically say that those of us that are not Gnostic, it's because we're ignorant and we're unlearned.
And you know, Jesse, one of the other paragraphs talks about the Gnostics adhere to the conception of children. Are you kidding me? Think about our culture right now. We don't want to have children. They regard a pregnant woman as having a devil in her, and they believe that procreation indefinitely replenishes the world and prolongs the captivity of light generation after generation. So they say, why have children? And this is right in line with our culture. The Gnostics think that women are potential mothers. They also are for, listen, think about this in our culture. Are we for masturbation in our culture? Oh, yeah. How about homosexuality, sodomy, pedophilia? All are preferable because the forms of sexuality do not result in the hateful imprisonment of more souls. You see, anything that's not going to procreate and bring forth new souls, it's good. The bottom line is that Gnosticism is not concerned with a moral life. Is that our culture? You think? But with a mystical enlightenment, you know, est and all these other crazy things, this new age stuff that's coming around. They say that freedom and bondage of creation. You see how they're against God's anything? And this is really, Jesse, Gnosticism comes from the pit of hell because the devil's for every one of those things. Go ahead, Jess.
Yeah, that's right.
It is. It comes right from the pit of hell.
Because to go on to that way of thinking.
Yeah.
Gnostics will say, well, if a living human being is insignificant,
yeah, that's what
and only the inner person is valuable,
yeah,
human worth will then depend on something within,
mm-hmm,
such as self-awareness or knowledge.
Yeah.
So subsequently, an unborn child is often regarded as not yet a person, and someone with advanced dementia may be viewed as no longer a person. So that's why Gnostics have no problem with abortion or euthanasia.
Exactly.
And in marriage, Gnostics define marriage by feelings.
Oh, my gosh. That's our culture, Jesse. I don't feel like I love her anymore. Yeah. Get rid of her. Get another girl.
Exactly. So the complementary natures of men and women don't matter because marriage for Gnostics becomes a disembodied and subjective relationship between two or even more people. This means that marriage, it's adaptable, according to Gnostic thought, with same-sex marriage being just one example. Furthermore, concubinage, shacking up, and prostitution are preferable to marriage since these are not permanent and generally don't produce human life. Again, like Terry said, the Gnostics abhor the conception of children.
Yeah.
They regard a pregnant woman as having a devil in her. And they believe that procreation indefinitely replenishes the world and prolongs the captivity of the light generation after generation. And this is, again, why the whole Great Reset, Bill Gates has said we need abortion, contraception, and vaccinations to reduce the population on planet Earth because he's a Gnostic. They hate children, and they hate the replenishment of the world, as God said, breathe fruitful and multiply. Gnosticism is also... it's misogynistic. They hate women. This is something advocated by Gnostics because women are potential mothers.
Exactly.
And like Terry says, masturbation, homosexual, sodomy, pedophilia, all of these are preferable because these forms of sexuality do not result in human life, which they call human life, the imprisonment of more souls. So the bottom line is that Gnosticism is not concerned with a moral life, but they're more concerned with mystical enlightenment,
exactly,
and freedom from the bondage of creation. Terry, we have a lot of Gnostics on the internet.
Exactly.
Even within Catholics.
Oh, absolutely.
You have one Gnostic after another saying, oh, God just spoke to me, and this is what's going to happen. I'm a mystic.
Yeah.
So it's even spread within good Catholics.
It has. And ask yourself on these bullets, Jesse, if it's alive and well today. Here's number one bullet. The Gnostic is dissatisfied with his situation. Are you kidding me? Look at the world today. Most people are dissatisfied with their situation. Number two, the belief that the world is poorly organized, as opposed to believing that the world is good, but the human beings are inadequate. Boy, that's so true. They don't understand original sin. They see, oh, it's just bad. Number three, the belief that salvation from evil of the world is possible. Number four, the belief that therefore the order of being will has to be changed, as opposed to the Christian belief that the world will remain as it is, and salvation is a grace through death. Boy, alive and well. Last two, the belief that changing the order of being is within human ability. Yeah, I don't want to be a man. I want to be a woman.
I want to be transhuman.
Yeah, exactly. The belief that the task to seek out a method of altering reality. Again, altering reality. I'm 6'6". No, I'm not. I'm 5'5". Okay, that's okay. I want to change that. I want to be a man. I want to be a woman. I want to be whatever. You see, this is all alive, and that's why we have to fight Gnostics with the truth of the Catholic faith.
Terry, one of the bullets I want to comment is bullet number three, where it says the belief that salvation from the evil of the world is possible.
Yeah.
Gnostics believe, like the Tower of Babel, yeah, pagans, they believe that they can create a better world. That's why Biden used the term for his campaign, he uses it still, build back better. Yeah. And guess what? Klaus Schwab uses that.
Yeah.
Anthony Fauci uses that.
That's
Bill
scary.
Gates uses that. The Clintons use that. Obama uses that. Build back better. That's Gnosticism. In other words, we can create a better world through our own human technology and ingenuity than what God gave us, than what was given to us by Western civilization.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Jesse, the bottom line is they want to live this world like God doesn't exist. It's all about me. And Jess, there's so much more in the next segment we're going to cover. But I want to just make this point that, folks, we might not know what Gnosticism is till today, but just understand that good philosophy, in other words, you learn the basics of the faith with a good philosophical mind, will breed good theology. And I would profess this, Jesse, that what's happened in the last 50 years is we've threw out the Thomistic philosophy of the church and put in modernism, so they don't have good philosophy. And so what happened in the last 50 years? We don't have good theology. We're Gnostics. Now, that's a short summary. Am I onto something, Jess?
Yeah, and good philosophy, St. Thomas would always call it first principles.
Yeah.
That's the way he starts everything.
That's he
goes,
how he does it.
Okay, first principles.
Yep.
When you have the good philosophy of the Catholic faith, mm-hmm, which we admit we purified the Greek thinkers.
Of course. We baptized.
We baptized Greek thought because they were already tracking in the right direction.
Exactly.
And so, again, this is called first principles. Simple things like, for example, philosophy 101 would be do good and avoid evil.
Mm-hmm.
First principle. Okay. There are some things that are just basic axiomatic philosophical statements. For example, grace builds upon nature.
Exactly.
These are first principles and philosophies, and if a Catholic doesn't embrace these, he's going to have a distorted worldview.
Yep.
Terry, philosophy even impacted the New Testament, as it says in the early church.
In the Acts of the Apostles.
Yeah, the Gnostics rejected the idea that our Lord Jesus Christ was true man with a fleshly body,
yep,
true God and true man.
Yep.
This was the heretical idea called Docetism that taught that Jesus Christ only appeared to have a man's body. So Gnostics deny our Lord's true humanity, and that's why the New Testament says whoever doesn't believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is of the spirit of the Antichrist. That was St. John was talking against the Docetist heretics already in the first century. And ultimately, Gnosticism, Terry, as we said, it's again, salvation is attained by enlightenment, by knowledge, because you have a spark of the divine.
It sounds like the New Age movement, brother.
Exactly, where the New Age movement is barred Gnosticism.
It is.
And so think about it. If Gnosticism, if all you need to have is a special knowledge, and because you're one of the chosen, you have the spark of the divine, then guess what? Who needs a church? Who needs the sacraments? Who needs Catholic priests?
That's right. Ask the German church right now, when they're talking about Gnosticism is alive and well big time in Germany. And so they're saying, hey, we don't need a priest. We don't need the sacraments. We make up our own mind what we're going to do. It's the problem with Gnosticism is, folks, is that we need to call it for what it is and go after it. And go after it in the vengeance of the Catholic faith. When we come back, Jesse and myself, we're going to talk more about Gnosticism and why it's evil. So stay with us, family. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when we come back, we'll have more to share with you. on this wonderful day the Lord's given to us. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
If you want to hear the good news, listen to us. If you want to hear the bad news, listen to somebody else. Terry and Jesse Show, we're talking about Gnosticism. Gnosticism, Terry, unfortunately, seems to be very popular with young people, with the millennials, and even a growing number of older generation, what I would call the Woodstock hippie liberals.
You're right.
They also identify as Gnostics. How do you know they're Gnostics? Here's what they say when you ask them. So what church do you go to? What faith do you practice? Here's what they'll say. I'm spiritual.
Give me a break.
But I'm not religious.
Yeah.
When they say that, guess what? You're dealing with a Gnostic.
Exactly. And Jesse, don't forget this. The Gnosticism still exists, and that's the force behind the chaos in our society. It's the first step in combating the perennial heresy. And we have to acknowledge this is the problem in the church today. We have Gnostics all over, not just inside and outside. But, you know, Jesse, there's another element that I'm probably going to get in trouble to say, but I don't mind because it's true. Because it's very popular. About 40% of Americans identify themselves as environmentalists, okay?
Yes.
And think about this, but among the 40%, there are radical elements that believe the Gnostic and pantheistic idea that the Earth's biosphere is God. Did you hear that, Jesse?
The Democrat Party platform.
They think that's God. They also believe that human beings are destructive. Are you ready for this? Parasites. What?
The Great Reset.
Eating away at life. So, hey, don't your footprint. Don't have any more kids. Stop it. Hey, when you're age 65, Jesse.
Check out.
That's the mentality, folks. That's why we have. Go ahead.
Jump off the bridge.
I'm sorry to say it. So, you know, like flipping. Yeah, go ahead. Kill yourself.
Yeah, Terry, these Gnostics that are the what I would call the globalists, the Great Reset people, these guys, they believe that they're superior beings to the rest of mankind.
Yes.
That's exactly what they believe. And they believe that the rest of us are human parasites. They also have a low view of the family. Gnostic ideas clearly target the traditional family.
Yep.
The traditional family, by the way, is an institution founded by Almighty God to form and regenerate society. As the Lord said to Adam and Noah, be fruitful and multiply. And the traditional family is rooted in the Catholic understanding of an indissoluble marriage between a man and a woman. But the Gnostics that run our world today, they believe in non-traditional marriage, i.e. so-called homosexual marriage. They believe in contraception thwarting human life. They believe in abortion and the rest of the sexual deviant behaviors and practices that they promote. Why? Because they want to destroy the traditional family, because this is God's sacred plan to save the human race. But they want to save the human race by their own human ingenuity and their own technology by making transhumans.
Yeah, Jesse, this is really serious. And I think the solution, which I believe is the Catholic faith, and I love the way the article, because we can't get to everything, but our Apostles' Creed, our teachings of the faith, are really the answer. We have to affirm that Gnostics are in heresy, and that it gives us an opportunity to reaffirm our Christian beliefs, to be sensitive to the heretical threats we face in our daily lives. In answer to the Gnostics, we affirm the following truths, and I love this. This is really our Catholic faith, and this is why you have to be a high-information Catholic. You can't be low-information or you miss it. We firmly believe that there is only one God, and He is the creator of all things. We reject the idea of an evil world. The source of evil in the world is man's sinful rebellion against God, not the physical world itself. You see how it answers all these questions? Continue with the next bullet.
That was bullet number one. Yeah, bullet number two.
Yeah.
We reject the Gnostic idea of an evil body.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Luther bought into that.
Yes, he did.
He was a Gnostic.
Big time.
In that regard. We reject the Gnostic idea of an evil body, since our bodies are intrinsic to us and are designed in wisdom and loved by our God, our good creator, to serve and glorify him. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost, and we honor God with our bodies by living in obedience to Him. Far from an empty shell, like atheists believe,
right.
Our bodies will be raised again to a new life forever. By the way, Gnostics are also, Muslims are also Gnostics in regard to the way they view women, because women in Islam are viewed as evil. That's why they're covered from head to toe, because they call them she-devils.
Not only that, other religions that we, Jehovah's Witnesses are Gnostics too.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Human life is uniquely precious as created in God's image. Our significance derives from this, not from our quality of life, age, or capability. So in other words, because grandma's 90 years old, that doesn't diminish her integrity of being a person.
That's right. Next bullet. God grounds marriage in His creation.
Yep.
It is defined as between a man and a woman, and forms the foundation for family and society. Marriage is the framework within which love can thrive and children can be raised. God also gives human marriage as a picture of the ultimate marriage between Christ and His church.
Amen.
And this is what Gnosticism seeks to destroy.
That's right.
And who's behind the heresy of Gnosticism? Satan.
Of course, all heresies. Number five, our Lord Jesus Christ. Check this out. Remember, He's fully God and fully man. He is the eternal God, the Word who was in the beginning, who was with God. This is John 1, right? Clear from Scripture. Scripture
yep.
reveals that He became fully man. And now the incarnation, remember that's that term, everybody? God became man. The incarnation is at the heart of our faith, making redemption possible. Without Jesus Christ dying on the cross, His incarnation, there's no salvation anywhere.
In other words, some people think, well, Jesus just died to save our soul.
He's one way. Yeah.
Yeah. He died to save our soul. That's a true statement, but it's more than that. He also died to save our body.
Exactly.
Because right now the saints, yes, they are disembodied spirits in heaven, but they will receive their body one day because Christ died for the soul and the body. Bullet number six on how we destroy the Gnostic heresy. We have to affirm these six bullets. The last one, every human being needs redemption from sin, but our loving and wise Creator gave His Son to save lost sinners. Salvation comes through faith in Him, not from looking within ourselves to some secret knowledge. Terry?
Well said. And I just want to remind everybody, this is a fight. We're in spiritual warfare, Jesse. This is what I think sometimes we as a church don't realize, that our life is, I mean, was it Pope Leo XIII said that for Christians, we're in a spiritual, it's a spiritual warfare battle.
Yeah. Yeah,
right?
He says life on earth is a battle.
Yeah. And so we have to realize, I mean, I think what happened, Jesse, is we don't realize we're at war. That's what's happening in the church right now.
Terry, let me get something important. This is the month of,
November.
To pray for the holy souls of
absolutely, brother.
Holy souls. What are the implications of Gnosticism in politics and the economy?
Never pray for the souls.
Okay?
Yeah.
The Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to three shepherd children in Fatima in 1917. She warned again that if her requests were not heeded, Russia will spread its errors throughout the world, promoting wars and persecutions of the church. The Mother of God was referring to what? Communism.
Exactly.
So where did the idea of communism come from? German philosopher Karl Marx.
You got it.
Who's probably in a special sauna in some deep place that Dante spoke about.
Yeah.
He died in 1883. Who else is the brainchild of communism? Frederick Engels, who died in 1895.
Yep.
These were the brains behind this evil idea. And where did they borrow? Where did these evil thinkers borrow or get their idea for communism and socialism? They borrowed it from the Gnostic myth of Darwinianism.
Yep.
The Darwinian theory of evolution is Gnostic because it implicitly denies the transcendent or origin of being. It denies the soul and the afterlife. So Marx and Engels envision the evolutionary development of society into a utopic dreamland by means of a perpetual class struggle among the social classes. That's exactly what's happening right now in the world through these great reset people and these globalists. This is exactly what they're doing. And so with Marx, the principle he called dialectic materialism. What does that mean? It means that they hope to eventually attain their heaven on earth, like the 60s Beatles song, where there is no state, no classes, absolute equality, no religion, no private property, no freedom. In other words, it's a system of errors, as Our Lady of Fatima warned the world in 1917, and we must fight it, Terry, with maximum determination.
Amen to that. And don't forget, who's called the destroyer of all heresies? The Blessed Virgin Mary, Genesis 3:15. Yes, we have known this. It's been revealed through Scripture in our church that she's going to crush the head of Satan.
Amen.
And
Amen.
You know, we have to call on Our Lady. Remember, Our Lady of Fatima said to do things, you know, we're talking about pray the rosary for world peace. Talk about doing your daily duty and offering up sacrifices. She said that souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. Well, this is so important for us all to know that this idea that we're about Gnostics is alive and well, and we have our Catholic faith to fight it with Our Lady as our lead general, as Jesse says so many times.
That's right. The fact is, Our Lady has promised us in many approved Marian apparitions,
big time,
that when we think that we're, you know, about to jump off the plank into shark-infested waters, her immaculate heart will triumph and there will be peace in the world. Don't worry. There's going to be an intervention of the
Mother of God,
our loving mother. This is the counter-revolution, and this is the greatest reason for hope, and we must be battle-ready, Terry.
That's right.
We must be like watchmen. When our mother comes with this great intervention, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart, we as her sons and daughters must be battle-ready with our rosary in one hand, with Jesus in our heart,
with
the Word of God in our other hand,
That's right.
And we have to storm the hill, Terry.
Sign me up, Jesse. Sign us all up. Hey, when we come back, we're going to have the Church Militant, a special team on, talking about the news that's coming out for tonight.
Brad Eli.
Yep, it's going to be good. Stay with us, family. Don't forget, our Spiritual Warfare Conference comes up the 29th and 30th of January. Check our website out, vmpr.org. Sign up before it's too late. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
This is our Catholic Internal Affairs segment with Church Militant. We got Brad Eli. Brad is one of, it's just a pleasure to listen to you, Brad. Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. What do we have coming up tonight? What's happening in the world of Catholicism and the world of politics?
Well, we still have the old right mass is still under attack. The latest attack comes right from the fountain there in Rome. Basically, the old right liturgy, the extraordinary form, is banned, okay, during Holy Week. A letter from the Vicar General, Pope Francis' Vicar General, Cardinal Donatis. This actually came out earlier in October. It's just surfacing now that you can't have any sacraments. That you're going to go to confession, and this priest doesn't even understand English, and he can't hear it in Latin, give you the sacrament in Latin, because they said no sacraments whatsoever. The 64 missal and all of the rites that goes with the confession and anything else with it cannot be done, is banned during Holy Week, Monday, Thursday, too, through Easter Sunday. So, you know, go figure, right? Whose side are we on in this war, right? Who's the good guys? Who's the bad guys? It's easy when everybody's, you know, it's us against them, right?
Yeah.
This is the big. This is the bad one. So anyway, that was one of the problems. Now we come back to the shores over here, and we have U.S. Bishop John Stope, pro-gay John Stowe of Lexington, saying that the church needs to be more political. Basically, the church must be political. He's talking to Commonweal, which is far left-leaning. Interview just recently came out. And the whole politics of it, they are so political right now. They talk about all the social justice issues right now. You know, we all have a Jewish carpenter for a boss, and he kind of gave us some instructions. And if you want to, you know, work for him, you know, fulfill that mission, right? Go forth and teach all nations whatsoever I've taught you, what I commanded you. But he thinks that we need to follow the politics more, which, you know, they're in the pocket of the Democratic Party. So,
Brad, can I jump in for a minute? When you said the Bishop Stowe, I have a background of being a Franciscan at Marytown in Kenosha, Wisconsin in the late 70s. And several of my friends later in the early 80s was with Bishop Stowe when he was a Franciscan novitiate, okay? And here's something that you might not be aware of, but it plays into what you're saying. And that is, when he was in novitiate, he had all kinds of problems and problems with, you know, living the order's rule as a Franciscan. And what happened is the people that were sponsoring his particular Franciscan group, they said, oh, we'll just bring him back and we'll do it through our own way and not send him to, you know, a bigger place. So they did it quietly. So he should have been kicked out of the novitiate for doing bad things back in the early 80s. But because someone said, oh, no, we'll bring him back here, we'll make an exception, then he becomes the priest, bishop, and we're paying the dues today. Were you aware of that situation, Brad?
No, I think, Terry, we need to have a sidebar conversation a little longer and just like some one-on-one here.
Yeah, because that's
gonna
something
need to get
that debriefed
on this
that.
One. Because my little news antennas are going up here.
I figured it might.
Yeah, we're going to have to probably have a discussion on that one because there's more of a news story. And you know what? That type of stuff, when it comes to light, it makes all the pieces fall together.
You think? That's why I'm bringing it up, brother, that this guy should have been stopped 30 years ago when he was in the novitiate, because you could tell, just like Benedict said, homosexuals should not be ordained priests. Now, I'm just making the comment because I'm a layman. I have no authority, but I do know for a fact that at that time, they brought him back to their monastery and did a private novitiate for him. So they made an exception, and boy, are we paying a price for it today.
Oh, that's good inside information right there. We're gonna have to expose that a little bit more down the road. Okay. So,
I'll see you on Monday in Baltimore, brother.
Oh, yeah, Baltimore. You want to find out more about it, go to our site, you know, churchmill.com. Okay. Click on the red banner at the top. We've got 35 people from here going.
Good.
Of our own staff. And well over 1,000 registered.
Awesome.
Registered, and a lot more synergy, you know, people showing up there, locals and other people that will be going that haven't even registered yet. Lots of, you know, the priests and speakers and stuff. So there's a lot going on there. As far as the last news topic here, fake Catholic John Kerry, you know, if it's not for bad Catholic bishops, then you get the bad Catholic politicians. It's all going the same, you know. The one wears a mitre and the other has a suit, but... he's basically saying no coal. You know, the Glasgow, Scotland, right? What do they call that? The COP26, basically the climate conference. And he's a climate czar, John Kerry. He was the guy that said, you know what? If you lose your job, don't worry. Just go build solar panels. So, you know, you guys,
give me a break.
Let's start a solar panel company and just build some solar panels. How hard can it be? You know, it's just doing stuff. So basically, he's basically saying no coal by 2030. They didn't actually sign the agreement to shut down all the coal-powered facilities. But basically, his aspiration, that's where they're moving it. They're going to tax them out of existence.
Yeah.
Obama said the same thing. It's just going to be too expensive to use. So they're going to be doing everything. Look out for the communist comptroller that nominated by Biden. She wants to bankrupt all of the oil, gas, and coal. So basically, it's climate, you know, over people. You know, the planet over people, basically, is the bottom line there. You know, they missed the whole reason for the God creating the planet to begin with. You know, that wasn't the end game. After he did all that, you know, he made Adam and Eve, but, you know, talking to the choir. But, okay, so.
Brad, I like your sense of humor. Let me throw something else at you off the topic. This is a conversation we're having. It seems that as gas keeps going up, you know, when we cut off our supplies for our own oil, do you think that there might be a reason that maybe they're wanting to say, get rid of all of our gas consumption engines and go to some other form, electric cars? Do you think that they might be just saying, hey, we're going to make it so difficult for you to fill your tank up that you're going to want to have an electric car? Am I onto something?
Well, I wish that was just the end of it, that we're just basically pushing us to have cars. You know, you've got the globalists who put Biden in charge, Soros money and all
That's
that.
Right.
Just look at our site. And that's a little more dangerous down the road there. Exactly. You know, you don't run tanks on solar, right? Okay. You don't run, you know, So there's a problem there, our industry and all this stuff. The technology's not there. We're going to bankrupt our industry.
Yeah.
We're going to sideline the job economy, the whole thing. The country will be coming down. Yeah. There won't be anything to go green.
Well said.
Except jungle. So I wish it was just getting us all to drive electric cars, but...
It's not that.
We're going back to the catacombs, man. We're going to be living in caves in a couple of years under this administration. Hey, Brad, let me ask you a question. Because you guys put that information out a while back ago on one of the vortexes. How many bishops, archbishops, cardinals in the U.S. are pro-LGBTQ? I think it was 14 that you guys put out, like a list of about 14. Do you remember?
You know, you got me on that one. We're going to be doing more of an expose on that. Get with them in Baltimore in a few days. We have put together a list of those bishops. I didn't look at the numbers. The list just got finalized just recently, but I don't think that is even a finalized list. And if you had to say, you know, how many are pro-LGBT? Pretty much all of them, because in some way, shape, or form, they're not shutting down the gay agenda. As Terry talked about that Stowe, one of them, it should have been stopped. Why wasn't he stopped? This goes back a long time. You got a lot of bishops in the tank here that are saying, you know, either I got bad formation. I'm always thinking just for 101 reasons, you know, when you say pro-LGBT, do you mean flaming gay or do you mean looking the other way? And either case, you're in bad shape.
Amen.
Brad, you and Terry have something in common because you were in seminary also. Weren't you?
I was in three seminaries. Okay,
they you beat me.
They had the good sense not to ordain me. I guess kneeling for communion, not shaking hands. You know, you go on and on.
You were just rigid, huh?
Yeah, the Scarlet R, man. When they bring up the word rigid, as we're all seminarians, like, ding, yeah, I know what you're talking about there. So I guess I didn't hide my Catholicity well enough, but I learned a lot of stuff, got a couple degrees and everything, and I'm very happy for all that formation I had. I didn't say no to the priesthood. I could tell you a story for, you know, several different iterations of when and how and why I wasn't ordained. And finally the little startup community I was with went by the wayside and I wound up here. So I've been in the underbelly of the church for, I don't know, 25, 30
years. Keep doing what you're doing. Brad, tell us again, how people can listen to this news tonight and every night. Tell us.
Well, you can just come to the site. It's the best to come to the site, churchmilton.com. Mm-hmm. Come there. And we'll be live streaming it on the site. That's where we want everybody to come. You can also find us on YouTube channel. But the solid best way that we need to go forward, because all the social media platforms deplatforming everybody, right?
That's right.
You guys know about that.
We do.
So the best thing to do, come to the site, churchmilton.com, 7 o'clock Eastern time. Tune in and find out where the battle is tonight.
Sounds good. Well, Brad, I want to thank you for taking the time to give us an update every Wednesday. Next Wednesday, folks, we won't have Brad there because Jesse and I will be in Baltimore. We have a special pre-recorded show for our listeners. But again, go to churchmilton.com to get more information on all of the things that they have to offer you to be a high-information Catholic. Brad, thanks again. Appreciate it. God love you, brother.
Nice talking with you, soldiers in Christ. Thank you.
Amen to that. Brother. Amen. Yes, don't you get inspired every time you hear from Church Militant?
Oh, yeah. These guys, I feel like these guys are giving us marching orders.
Yeah.
And they're just confirming. It's good to know that there are friends in out there in trenches. They may be in the trenches of Michigan. You're in the trenches of California. I'm in the trenches of Arizona.
That's right.
But there are fellow Catholics in the trenches. And that's a good thing, Terry, to know that we're all locking arms. And like Pope Leo XIII says, Christians were made for combat.
Well, so, and Jesse, let's talk about, we're talking about the spiritual war. We're talking about our spiritual fitness trainers. Let's talk about the five stones of King David and what we need to do every single day here on planet Earth.
Yeah. Number one, we have to live in a state of grace. If you don't live in a state of grace and you die in a state of mortal sin, you're going to hell. It's over. You wasted your life on planet Earth. And that's why Jesus says, what is the profit of man to gain the whole world but lose a soul in the process? Living in a state of grace, here's a couple of things you can do from your fitness trainers in the Lord's gym.
Amen.
Number one, pray your rosary every day. No excuses. We don't want to hear, oh, I'm too tired. It's boring. I fall asleep. Man up and start praying the rosary every day. I don't know any champion, Terry, in boxing, UFC, wrestling, or jiu-jitsu or fighting sports that didn't become a champion by doing road work. Rosary is the road work. Number two, go to Mass as often as possible. Three, read your Bible every day. Four, penance and fasting. Five, go to monthly confession and make sure that the soul is clean. Terry, take
And I'll ask you one more thing to do. Go to the Spiritual Warfare Conference as room is available January 29th and 30th with Father Chad Ripperger and his crew. Jesse Romero will be there. I'll be there to join all of that. And the way you can register is go to vmpr.org at our website, vmpr.org, or call us at 877-526-2151. May God richly bless you. And I just want to thank all of our listeners who support us. This is coming up on our fourth anniversary in January for Virgin Most Powerful Radio, and we couldn't have done it without you. So thanks so much for your support, and especially the monthly donors pay our monthly bills. If you'd like to become a monthly donor, go to vmpr.org. May God bless you again, and we'll see you again tomorrow, same time, same station. Full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio.